whatever you think you've lost because you have broken chapters in your life, no chapter is so ruined that God can't redeem your story. And so it's not just about getting to be a mama to me. It's about the fact that He is always good.
Next on Life Today, Bible teacher and author Lisa Harper shares with guest host Christine Kane her overwhelming joy that came in a very unexpected way.
Today, thank you so much for joining us. Obviously, I'm not James or Betty. My name is Chris Kane from the Land Down Under, and I'll be your host. James and Betty are off changing the world as usual, and I'm just part of the family here, part of the extended family, your cousin from Australia. And it is my privilege today to be hosting a show with one of my dear friends, Lisa Harper. Why don't we welcome Lisa Harper? Thank you so much for coming.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here.
How are you doing? You've got like such a southern accent.
I was thinking when you were talking, I thought I just suddenly have a craving for Outback Steakhouse.
So I need to tell you, I think you Americans are the only ones that eat Outback Steakhouse.
I know it's not really Australian. We think it is. But you know, I love your accent. I feel like you could just read the phone book and I'd rededicate my life to Jesus.
This is the Queen's English. We actually say awesome.
I can't do it. I'm not even going to try.
It's very dignified. Well,
awesome.
What is that? Awesome. Anyway, we'll jump right in. Well, Lisa, you've had a lot going on in your life recently.
I have.
Please share with us some of the exciting news that has happened.
Well,
to you.
The most exciting news is after it took 2 years, but I became a mama 4 months and 25 days ago. And who's counting? I adopted a little girl who thinks you're her aunt.
Oh, she's
Missy.
My body double.
Yeah,
yes.
Missy. Yeah, she is. And I'm convinced we look alike.
Come on.
From Haiti, I had a domestic adoption that fell through. Yeah. I didn't think I'd ever be a mama. I was so broken in my 20s and 30s that I just was really drawn to abusive men and carbohydrates. And God...
Not a great combo.
And God... healed me of the abusive men. But anyway, I missed the window of having children biologically. And I thought, you know, I'm not going to get to be a mom. And I know God is good and I trust His sovereignty. And that was just a consequence of my own brokenness, kind of looking for love in all the wrong places. But then some friends just really confronted me and said there's 147 million orphans.
Wow.
And for so many of them, they don't have a shot at a mom and a dad. And so for, you know, between me and death, I'm the better option as a single mom. And so I started the process, lost a domestic adoption with a little girl. You know that story.
Yeah, I do.
Who was a precious kid, prostitute, and had gotten pregnant. And that adoption fell through a week before I was supposed to bring her home. And right after that, I was actually in Dallas, and some friends called, and they said, we just got back from Haiti. While we were there, one of the moms in the feeding program died of AIDS. They didn't know she had AIDS until she died at the hospital. And they said she has a 2.5-year-old who's HIV positive, who has tuberculosis and cholera. And they said, we just remembered you saying you wanted a child nobody else was standing in line for, because every child deserves a mom and a dad. And I said, you know, give me a kid that may not have that option. And they said, we remembered you saying that, and Missy, if she goes in the normal system, will die in 2 to 3 months. But if somebody from a first world country adopts her, you know, she has a shot. And so they said, no pressure. But would you pray about this? And I said, no, I won't, because I've already been praying about it for 30 years.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's time to pull the trigger. And 6 weeks later, I was in Haiti, and 2 years later, I brought her to Nashville, where people talk correctly. So she is now a Tennessean.
You know, this subject's very tender to my heart because I'm adopted too. And it just makes me so excited that here you are saying, you know what, God is answering my prayer. When do you think God first put that seed in your heart to adopt a child?
That's a great question. Years ago, my best friend and I, it was actually when we were in high school, did a Bible study on adoption. And we were both loud and... And so people would come, I think, just because we were loud and we had chocolate at Bible study. But we did a Bible study on the theme of adoption through Scripture. And, you know, I was 17, 18. I still had, you know, tight skin and high metabolism. I really didn't know what I was talking about. But we were sincere as you can be. Yeah. And you live in the revelation God's given you at that moment. We were both really just undone by this theme of adoption in Scripture and how God has adopted us. And so both of us made this little pact at 17 that we are going to adopt. And little did we know, she would suffer with infertility, and she went on to adopt two wow. children. Little did we know, my husband would be lost and wouldn't stop to ask for directions, and I would be, you know, old as dirt and no children. But I think God, to me, the story is so much bigger than just adoption. It is God as a redeemer.
Beautiful.
So yeah. whatever you think you've lost because you have broken chapters and in your life, no chapter is so ruined that God can't redeem your story. And so it's not just about getting to be a mama to me. It's about the fact that He is always good. Yes. You know, I love that verse in Psalm 84:11. No good thing does He withhold from him whose walk is upright. Or I always do my own little translation and say, or from her who often stumbles. And even though I made so many mistakes in my 20s and 30s and was so desperate to be a mama, God never forgot His promises to me. He is such a redeemer. And so to me, that's the real sweet exclamation point of getting to bring her home.
That is just beautiful. And I hope that, you know, you caught that as you're watching this. God is such a redeemer that He wastes nothing and that He's truly able to work all things together
Absolutely.
For good. And He'll use all those broken pieces of your past. And if He gave you a promise, the fact is they don't have any expiry dates. I think that's
right.
really the bottom
that's
line
exactly
is that
right.
God's promises don't have expiry
no.
dates. And that's what you've shown us. And I sit here, I look at your leather jacket and you're looking pretty hot. And so
Thank you.
I'm making note of that because you ride a motorcycle.
I did.
And here you are, you've adopted a beautiful, beautiful little Missy. And I mean, she is sassy as they come. And
she is sassy.
She is your
daughter. She's like her Aunt Chris.
And her Aunt Chris, as opposed to her aunt. and, you know, but so, you know, you've adopted a beautiful little Haitian girl, HIV positive.
Yeah.
So you're a bit of a risk taker. Ride motorbikes,
yeah.
you know, you
yeah.
have decided to not sit around and wait. Do you think that really is part of the Christian journey, taking risks?
I do.
Yeah.
I actually do. I mean, part of the whole riding motorcycles was I grew up Baptist, so I wanted an excuse to wear leather pants. So that's part of it. That has nothing to do with Jesus. But yeah, you know, in Hebrews chapter 13, you know, we've talked about this before, the end of Hebrews where it says Jesus went outside the camp. You know, the cross wasn't in the walled city of Jerusalem. It's outside Jerusalem. It's on that hill, Gehenna. Well, it's next to Gehenna. Golgotha's next to Gehenna. So He took our shame outside the city. And then the author of Hebrews says something. This is a paraphrase, but basically says, so you need to be willing to go outside the city too for the sake of Christ. I don't think passivity is an option for believers. Mm-hmm. I think once you really begin to believe Jesus, not just believe in Jesus,
right.
but I mean believe Jesus, everything He said, everything He did, I don't think we can be complacent. That doesn't mean everybody's called to adopt an HIV-positive child, but we are called to do something that is outside of our comfort zone for the sake of Christ. You know how the Israelites, remember how at the beginning of the wilderness, they got to sit on the bank and just watch God perform the miracle when He parted the Red Sea? But then 40 years later, because they had spent all that time with God, they were maturing with God, He said, okay, I'm going to part the Jordan. You're going to have a miracle. You're going to get to cross this water too. But this time, yeah. you have to participate in the miracle. You can't just observe. So I think for anybody who knows Jesus, as you begin to mature in that relationship, yeah, I think there's some risk for all of us. I think that's what the book of Acts is about. I know you love Acts.
Yeah, I do. I think the whole Bible is actually, you know,
all
it
Greek.
Starts off with yes, but with just us living a risky
yes.
Christian life.
Yeah.
And I think when you settle for comfort and complacency, it is just, you actually stop living. Because Jesus said, you know, I came that you might have abundant life. And that
That's
means
right.
you take risks, you step
That's
out
right.
of your comfort zone, you grow to where you need to go. I love the fact that you're still doing it. I feel like you and I are a little bit like Caleb. We're not quite 85. We've got a ways
yeah.
to go.
Yeah. Just a little ways, yeah.
We've got a long way to go, everyone. I want you to know that. But Caleb did say at 85, he turned around to Joshua and he said, I'm as young now as I was
That's
then.
Right.
Now,
That's right.
give me this promise. Like the fact that there's still still breath in my lungs,
that's right,
means that God still has a plan, a purpose and a destiny. And I always say to people, if you're still living, God's still got something for you to do, and there's someone for you to help.
That's right.
And, you know, we didn't come to earth to retire.
No.
And, like, you know, imagine just golfing my way into heaven. Whatever.
Right.
It's just like, really? Really?
Right.
We're here for such a short time, and this is not a dress rehearsal for the real thing. So I admire you because you didn't sit back and say, well, I'm so disappointed because I didn't get the husband that I wanted, so I'm just going to sit here and do nothing. You've done what you can, where you are, with what you have. And, you know, I know there are so many people watching this and they're thinking, well, can I do anything? Well, I think there's always, God puts something in front of us and says, if you would just step up, take a risk, then there's promise on the other side of that. I want to know because, you know, I've been at a few Women of Faith events with you and Missy, and that little girl has got energy plus.
She does.
She's like an ever-ready battery.
She does.
She's awesome.
She does.
And so how has your concept of God or has your concept of God enlarged at all having this little girl in your home?
Oh, I mean, I've never been so exhausted in my whole life.
Welcome to motherhood.
But it is this glorious kind of exhaustion because, and I know everybody says this, I didn't have the concept of it until God allowed me to be Missy's mama. But when I look at her some days, last night, I was giving her HIV meds. And she said, thank you, mama. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I'm giving her HIV meds. And she's sitting here swinging her feet and saying thank you. And I mean, you know her. She's not an angel. She's feisty. She also told me last night, because I had been running, she goes, mama, you stanky. So I don't mean to paint her as perfect. And she was accurate at that point. But I thought I would do anything for this amazing 5-year-old little girl that God has allowed me to parent. How much more? You know the parable where Jesus says he loved on his, you know, he went to the neighbor and gave the neighbor bread when the neighbor knocked on his door. But how much more did he love the kids who are in his home? And we have this Heavenly Father who, how much more? And so, yeah, the concept of God's affection, you know, I put my hope in Jesus when I was a kid.
Right.
When I was 5 years old, I walked an aisle because the pastor had preached about how God is a father who doesn't walk away.
Oh, wow.
And my father had walked away from us. So I was pretty desperate for a dad who would stay. And so I've known God as my savior since I was a kid. I didn't think he liked me very much. You know, for so many years, I thought he saved me because he feels sorry for me. And so to begin to really get the delight of God, even now, I think Missy helps me with that because she, I mean, I think she hung the moon. And to know how much more God loves me, even on my worst days, God loves me infinitely more than I love this little girl. Yeah, that is expanding my view of who he is.
I just love that, you know, God used you to bless her, but she's blessing you like every day. I know that. You say that so often.
Yeah.
Tell me, when you went down to, you know, Haiti. To Haiti, really, I'm just thinking there were so many children. How did you know Missy was yours? How does that...
Well, they had, you know, they had told me she would die if somebody didn't adopt her. And 6 weeks later, I was on a plane going to Haiti. And I've been to a lot of third world countries. I've never been that hot.
Right.
I told Jesus that I would be a missionary in Africa if he would just give me a Slurpee when I landed Port-au-Prince. It's just so hot. And then, you know, took this just horrid diesel bus trip to this very, very primitive area where she was. It took about 4 hours from Port-au-Prince to get there. But they put her in my arms. She was 2.5 years old. She was 19 pounds, very malnourished, teeny. You know, she was very, very sick. And I'll never forget, she looked at me kind of with disdain. You shouldn't trust me at all. I mean, I was, for a long time, I was just Santa with bigger hips to her. But she put her little hand around my finger, and she looked up at me, and she went, "Hello, Mama." And I was like, well, stick a fork in me. I am done. You know, there you go. And I think, again, that takes me back to who God is. Wow. He says that he directs the steps of our lives. His plans for us are to prosper us, to give us a hope and a future. My hope and my future, God knew as many times as I messed up, my 20s and 30s and 40s, God knew this little pumpkin's mama is going to die of AIDS and she's going to have nobody else. And you get to go to Haiti and be her mama. I wasn't looking for Haiti. you know, I had a baby here that I was adopting until 5 days before she was born, and it fell apart. So that wasn't even in my frame of reference. But God knew that. He is always sovereign. He's always good. And now, you know, sometimes my friends tease me and they're like, if we didn't know the story, we would believe you birthed this child because y'all are two peas in a pod. And you know, I just get so tickled at some of the things where I just go, only God could do that. Only God could do that. It really is. It's not, I don't mean to paint it with a, you know, just a rosy hue. It is hard. I'm a single mom. I'm tired. Some of the HIV stuff can be hard and scary, but it is the sweetest. It's the sweetest ride I've been on.
I'm just astounded. You know, I follow you on Instagram and you post so many posts of her singing.
Yeah, like, she sings
that,
all the time.
That is astounding given some of the conditions she grew up in. How do you...
She sings all the time. And I, you know, she didn't speak any English when I brought her here, except for, you know, hello, goodbye. She called me Pablo for the first month because someone had explained the story of Paul to her, and they called him Pablo, said he was a missionary. Well, when they told her who her mama was, they said, your mama's kind of like a missionary. She goes around and talks to people about Jesus. And in her little five-year-old mind, it was, oh, my mama must be Pablo. And so... She called me Pablo for the first month, which, you know, I thought, I'm sure Paul is in glory, like, you've got to be kidding me. But it was still, it was really sweet. But I'll tell you, to synopsize it, I was at a conference recently, and there was an elderly woman on the front row. Her name was Miss Ruth. She was 83 years old, and she couldn't hear very well. Well, toward the end of the conference, I had all the women who were... I can't even remember exactly what the prayer was for, but it was a small group. We got pretty close. So I had them stand for this time of real intentional prayer. And Miss Ruth was standing next to this other elderly woman on the front row, and they had to kind of climb up each other to stand up. And Miss Ruth said, I don't know what all this is about, but if it's about Jesus, I'm standing up. Oh. And I was like, well, there you go. I thought, that is how we're supposed to live. She wasn't even sure what she was standing up for, but she knew it was about Jesus.
Come on.
So she was all in. And I thought, that's who I want to be. That's been, you know, everybody's not called to adoption. Everybody's not called to the things God has called each person who's listening to individually. But in my story, he said, I want you to go love on this child. And by doing this, and you know, Chris, she's her HIV, because God had done so much. I thought, I'm just going to pray audaciously. I'm not as audacious as you. And sometimes my faith is so, I've learned a lot from you to just trust God at his word. But I thought, I've got her home. She's lived. I'm going to pray this audacious prayer and pray that her HIV is undetectable by Christmas. And a month after I had her in Nashville, Vanderbilt called me and they said, Lisa, we got her blood work back and her HIV is undetectable.
Come on.
And
come on.
Yeah. So,
come on, that is
awesome. He's here. So, yeah. So, yeah. So now I'm praying for a high metabolism and a husband with hair and money.
Come on. And we are all going to agree together with you know, I'm Greek, so we love hairy Greek men.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what a powerful story of hope, of redemption. Yeah. And, you know, this is so tender to me. I mean, Lisa's adopted a girl and I'm adopted. And I know everyone watching this, we would all love to be able to do something to help rescue, to help reach children, to help rescue them, to help restore their lives. And this is why I love to partner with Life Outreach, because we are serious about helping to reach, rescue and restore the lives of young women and children that are caught in the horrors of sex trafficking. Mm. In a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to be able to help us. I know this story has stirred you and you thought, you know, we can't all go to Haiti and adopt Missy, but we can all make a difference in the life of a child. I want you to watch this. I want you to watch this video of just how broken dreams, how dreams are shattered and turned into nightmares. And we're going to give you an opportunity to partner with us to turn those nightmares back into dreams. Mm.